area at its best.
It's 1240. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Republicans are trying to grab onto voters' discontent and turn it into an opportunity to make political gains in Illinois. That was the focus of the GOP's rally yesterday during Republican Day at the Illinois State Fair. The event bore a stark contrast to the activities at the fair a day prior, when leading Democrats were heckled and booed by union protesters. Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky has more.
This was the sound emblematic of Governor's Day at the Illinois State Fair Wednesday. Governor Pat Quinn and other top Democrats tried to give campaign-style speeches, only to be drowned out by chants from members of AFSCME, the state's largest public employees union. Hundreds of protesting state workers and retirees filled the lawn in front of the stage, their posters often blocking the view of the politicians on the platform. Thursday was much different.
Welcome. And you know, the thing is, I can look to the media here. You're not going to see that here in the Illinois Republican Party today. You're going to see a lot of unity. You're going to hear from our candidates. You're going to hear from our current office holders. And they're going to tell you about our positive mission of what we're going to do to reform not only the country at the congressional level, but here in the state of Illinois, which is badly, badly in need of reform.
That was the chairman of the Republican Party, Pat Brady, kicking off the GOP event. Far fewer people attended than a day before, and most sat at picnic tables off to the side. The area in front of the stage was practically empty. Only a dozen or so party faithful sat in neat rows of chairs on the lawn, leaving a clear view of both the politicians and a lot of dead grass. It did get noisy for a bit.
God bless America. Land that I love.
During a rendition of God Bless America that was nearly 4 minutes long, twice the length of Governor Quinn's entire speech at the Democrats' rally, the contrast didn't go unnoticed by Republicans, like congressional candidate Rodney Davis of Taylorville.
One thing I've noticed today, I haven't heard any speaker drowned out by boos. But I haven't heard a lot of excitement out there either. Let's get, hey, who wants Republican victories in November? Let's keep that up. Let's hear it.
Although they joked about it, Republicans are counting on anger like that displayed in the union's protest. And they're hoping independents and those on the fence will look to the GOP. Chairman Brady says the protests are representative of a larger anger felt throughout Illinois.
I think it's just more reflective of how a lot of people in Illinois feel about how the Democrats have basically put us on the path to financial collapse in the last 12 years. So it creates opportunities for us because we're the party that's going to reform the state and get it back on its feet.
The GOP has been relegated to perennial minority status in the General Assembly in recent years. A Democrat, Pat Quinn, maintains control of the governor's office. That's left Illinois Republicans largely powerless. But the absence of power allows the party to heap blame on the leading Democrats for the state's myriad problems. State Senator Bill Brady narrowly lost the governor's race to Quinn a couple of years ago. He says it's telling that even unions, traditional allies of Democrats, have turned on the party.
They don't trust the Democrats. They don't trust this administration. There's no question that those hardcore Democrats are going to be suppressed. And I think we're going to have a good outcome in this election. It's because of Quinn. It's because of Madigan. It's because of Obama. People are tired of failed leadership.
Madigan, it's a name Republicans repeated over and over in reference to the longtime Democratic Speaker of the Illinois House. Except for a 2-year break in the 90s, Madigan has been Speaker since 1983. He also chairs the state party, giving him power beyond the House chamber. Republicans are trying to place the blame on him for leaving Illinois in financial ruin. They're calling him out in stump speeches, in campaign brochures, and commercials. There was even someone dressed as a leprechaun, a play on Madigan's Southside Chicago Irish roots, running around at the GOP rally, carrying a sign that said, "Madigan stole my pot of gold." In short, they're trying to make the argument that a vote for a Democrat in the General Assembly is a vote to keep Madigan in power. But Republicans have their work cut out for them. Control of state government allowed Democrats to unilaterally draw a new map of state legislative and congressional districts. Of course, Democrats drew it to their advantage. That's leaving Republican incumbents like Congressman Randy Halkren of Winfield struggling to retain their positions.
Democrats have done a slap in the face of the Illinois voters this year with redistricting on top of everything else that they've done here in Springfield. We need to again voice the tragedy of what the Democrats in Springfield have been doing to our great state. And win it back. Take it back. Now is the year.
That was the same message the GOP had 2 years ago after the spectacular fall of Democrat Rod Blagojevich. And they were unable then to regain control of the General Assembly or to win the governor's office. Add to that the presidential race with Barack Obama expected to easily carry his home state this fall. While Democrats are going through some difficult times, the statewide odds remain in their favor this election, and possibly for years to come in Illinois.
Now is the election. It's the most important election of our lifetime.
While Congressman Halkren spoke at the fairgrounds, the faint sound of cicadas could be heard in the background. The insect's hum is quieter than protesters' chants, but it may be just as telling. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Lots of people were worried rain would ruin the Summer Olympics in London. It didn't, but some in Belgium and the Netherlands claim their peak season has been blighted, and not by bad weather, but by bad forecasting. Terry Schultz explains.
The mayor of the Belgian seaside resort of Knokke says it's a crime that tourism there is down this year. He means that literally. Leo Lippens wants to sue the weather service, Meteo Belgique, for issuing a pessimistic full summer forecast he says wasn't fair in any way because it didn't emphasize the Belgian coast generally has clearer weather than the rest of the country.
We all know that we are not in La Côte d'Azur or in southern Italy, but we have a fantastic climate. And to give the impression that it's absolutely disgusting is disgusting, and that I don't allow.
Lippens rejects Matteo Belgique's clearly published legal disclaimer of responsibility for forecasts. Lippens says enormous sums of tourism revenue have been lost because of this forecast, and he's determined to make Matteo Belgique pay one way or another.
That's public disinformation, and when you arrive at that stage, you should be able to be closed down or you should be able to be financially responsible.
Martin Van Etrieve works in sales at the large resort hotel La Reserve and confirms their occupancy rate is way below the seasonal average.
Minus 20 to 30%.
And pre-bookings for the rest of the summer?
Even lower, because they are all waiting last minute until they are sure of the forecast.
The hotel's owner backs taking legal action against Matteo Belgique. Christine Neve manages Knokke's Royal Zoet golf course. She hasn't seen a spike in cancellations this summer, but agrees Matteo Belgique should be held legally responsible, if possible.
This kind of blah-blah has given a lot of problems to people who have invested in restaurants and beach activities to welcome tourists.
But Mayor Lippens goes even one step further, accusing Matteo Belgique of purposely diverting tourists because it has financial interests in travel agencies booking trips to other countries.
It doesn't smell very good.
Trying to relax in a suburban park on a rare sunny day in Brussels, Matteo Belgique's owner, Xavier Lezin, says this whole maelstrom has been a shock for him. He rejects outright the notion his company has any financial incentive to distort predictions.
You crois ça?
Asking whether Lippens could really believe that.
Incredible, the story.
Lezin says he plans to take his own holiday to the Belgian coast this summer and says everyone needs to remember weather forecasts are just estimates. But in the neighboring Netherlands, Bianca Fransen of the Association of Recreation Entrepreneurs says they've lodged a similar complaint about Dutch meteorologists.
We've seen them say things like it's going to be a horrible summer when in reality it was just one bad week.
A Dutch politician also threatened to fine forecasters, but Fransen says they've found a resolution. Meteorologists promise to point out more specifically where weather will be bad. More importantly, where it will be good. Fransen calls it a recreational forecast. Back in Belgium on Knokke's beach, American tourist Karen Levy, who returns here every year, thinks the mayor should just lighten up about a lawsuit.
That's ridiculous. But I don't really come for the weather. There's so many outdoor things to do, and the kids don't care. They go swimming anyway.
But Mayor Lippens says whether or not city attorneys advise pursuing a lawsuit against the Weather Service, he won't be letting the matter just blow over. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
WILL programs are made possible by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store, offering more than 3,000 certified organic products, freshly baked breads,
a coffee bar and bulk foods department, and an in-store nutritionist to answer questions about healthy eating. Strawberry Fields on Springfield Avenue in Urbana.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 17th of August, 2012. It's the birthday of Jonathan Franzen, born Western Springs, Illinois, 1959, author of the novels Freedom and The Corrections, and most recently an essay collection, Farther Away. Jonathan Franzen, who said, "I come from a kind of old-fashioned Midwest, and I live in a techno-corporate, post-ironic, cool, late Eastern world. The two worlds hardly ever talk to each other, but they're completely, constantly talking to one another inside me. I have my parents talking to me in my head, and then other parts of myself talking back. I think this is potentially an interesting conversation." It's the birthday of the poet Ted Hughes, born in West Riding, Yorkshire, 1930. First collection came out in 1957, The Hawk in the Rain. Ted Hughes became known for his dramatic mythological themes, sometimes writing from the point of view of animals, especially crow. Married the poet Sylvia Plath in 1956, who committed suicide 7 years later. He administered her literary estate, didn't talk about her publicly until his collection of poems, Birthday Letters, came out in 1998. It's the birthday of the writer who said, "Between two evils, I like to pick the one I haven't tried before." Mae West, born Brooklyn, 1893. Davy Crockett, born on this day 1786 in Greene County, Tennessee, served 3 terms in the U.S. House of Representatives and was defeated by a lawyer named Andrew Huntsman, who had a peg leg. Davy Crockett said, "Since you have chosen to elect a man with a timber toe to succeed me, you may all go to hell and I will go to Texas." And he left the next day and was killed the following year at the Battle of the Alamo. It's the birthday of Sylvia Nasar, born in Bavaria, 1947, author of the book A Beautiful Mind, about a brilliant economist who struggled with severe mental illness. It's the birthday of the man who wrote an exposé about fast food restaurants, Eric Schlosser, New York City, 1959. The book was Fast Food Nation, The Dark Side of the All-American Meal, about disturbing practices in the fast food, factory farming, and meatpacking industries. Here's a poem for today by Ted.